There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power. Hello and welcome to a new episode of WEN Power podcast. We are here today with Manuela Lanza, former CNN journalist and holistic coach, who helps entrepreneurs achieve a high level of well-being and confidence on camera and in life. Thank you, Manuela, for taking the time to be here today, sharing your story and knowledge with us. And you are welcome.
Thank you so much, Ilaria. It's a pleasure for me to be here and share all this wisdom with the ladies.
So today, I feel like I want to start by asking a very provocative question. So I hope you're ready for this. And the question is, what are you fighting for today?
Whoa. Jugular question, eh? As a coach, I also do jugular question, but not at the beginning. So good, good. So can you repeat this question?
What are you fighting for today? What is that one thing in life or that you would like to achieve, not just you personally, in general, also for other people, that you are fighting for it today?
Okay, first of all, I would reframe the word fight. I don't like it. It transmits me negative energy, and I also tend to turn negative into positive. So I would prefer saying something like, what's my ideal vision or my goal for today or what I would like to achieve? But to start with, I don't like fight, and I would turn it into something more positive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then to answer the question, what I'm thrive for is making every day the best day of my life in the present. Stay present. That's always my main goal when I wake up in the morning.
Amazing. I mean, it's my goal too. And you're right that we're fighting. Fighting is a bit aggressive, but it's also very like warrior style, you know, in terms of like we're women, we always need to go against something every day. So, but it's very important that you focus on the present and on the positive vibe. So really, really like this answer. So to dive into this interview, you started a career as a journalist with an internship at Euronews. Then you work at the European Commission, studied for a master's degree in journalism at the City University in London, and then worked for CNN, Vice, Reuters, and Al Jazeera. How does it feel for you to have went through all of these incredible places and then you just turn your life upside down and become an holistic coach?
Yes, it was quite a journey, to be honest. I was very driven since I left Spain to go to London. I was super driven, and every step I took, it was aligned with that one purpose, which was becoming a prestigious international journalist and working obviously for the best. So I studied in the university, and when I had my first interview with CNN, I was freaking out. I was like, whoa, finally I'm here. But before that, obviously, I sent tons of applications. I networked like crazy. I wrote articles for free. I worked for free. So I knew it was going to be hard. And that dream of working for either CNN or Al Jazeera, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And then after that, obviously, once you get your foot at the door, then is when you have to shine, you know, and show what you can do. So that's what I did when I started at CNN. Man, the first day I had to take a paracetamol because my brain was on fire. You know, I had people all over the world sending me emails asking me for things to do, and you want to please everybody. But I collapsed the first week, and then I realized health is also important. you know, your health. And so I was like, okay, working a lot and feeling like proud of myself. And then I was collecting, you know, experience after experience. But one day I looked back and I was like, okay, I'm working for these amazing places and I'm learning a lot, but how is my lifestyle? Like, I wake up at 5 a.m, it's freezing cold. I have to spend almost 2 hours in the metro, and then I get to work at 7 a.m. I work 12 hours with 1 hour break. I barely see the sunshine. And then when I finish work, I don't have energy to socialize or to even go for a run. So then it was when I started to stop and reflect where I am, where I thought I was gonna be, and what's my purpose in life? Like, am I always thinking about me, or I can also think about others, no? Because life is not just about my career, it's also about people. So once I reached this self-realization, my mother needed help because we have a family restaurant and I'm only child. So I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna go and support my mother and, you know, and just follow this journey. And then obviously what happened was she got sick and she got cancer. I had to take care of her. And then I was shocked when she died and I lost my health. And I just realized that if we don't have health, something basic, if we don't even know how to breathe, because I used to have panic attacks, I was like, man, so much anxiety that I was freaking out, having these panic attacks that I never had in my whole life. And I was just like, whoa, I became much more humble, much more human, much more connected to God and the universe. And that's when I started to learn yoga, coaching, and heal myself. And now I came back as a completely stronger being with all this expertise that I gained in my journalism career, but plus the holistic lifestyle expertise, yoga and coaching. And now what makes me happy really is to put this to serve others so I can feel I'm aligned with my divine purpose in this world rather than just chasing and chasing like a rat in a wheel, chasing and chasing for what? Okay, now you work for Al Jazeera and what? Who are you really? How are you gonna live something meaningful in this world?
I completely agree with you, especially when you say, you know, it was always about me. What about the rest? You know, sometimes we work so hard to achieve a dream and we just forget about who we are, first of all, and also who we are related to others. And also how our life has an impact on other people and how we definitely need that connection, you know? We need people around. We need to do things that they have a meaning, not just, okay, it's a tick on my checklist of when I was a teenager and I was dreaming to become a famous journalist, because then that's it. As you say, you are there and that's it. What about you? What about the rest? So obviously, working in different media outlets gave you an expertise and a knowledge about different like work environment. You develop a different skills. So, you are in a position that maybe you can give an advice to all the young women that are listening to us today, and they might thinking about starting a career in journalism. So, drawing from your own experience, what advice would you give to them if they are moving their first steps into this very competitive and hard field?
I would say stay humble, stay genuine, work hard, dream big, but don't lose yourself into your ego. Stay aligned with your true self.
And If you were to think about the biggest lesson you learned from your experience as a journalist, what would that be?
Say no with confidence. If two bosses ask me to do 100 things in 2 minutes, I'm just gonna say no. And next question would be, what has the priority right now? Because I'm not able to do five things, I'm able to do just two. So from these five things that you're asking me, just pick two and I will deliver them on time. And also, don't overpromise. Always underpromise and then surprise and then impress. Because we tend to, when we lack confidence and we are working with all these prestigious journalists and we wanna perform, make an impression, a good impression, we tend to overpromise and kill ourselves to deliver and even do extra hours that you then lose your balance between your personal and your professional life. No. You know how many times I stayed at CNN until late to send that amazing email that will please my bosses? And then I lost drinks with friends or even dates or so many things just because I wanted to send that one email that would show how clever I am and how useful I am for the team. But man, they are not paying me these extra hours. Let's be honest. Also, let's value our time. Let's value our energy. I don't care. I'm working for CNN. I'm working for whoever. It's also really important to value our time, our energy, and be confident when you say no. What has the priority right now? Because I remember my first boss, he said, do you have too much on your plate, Manuela? Tell me. And I turned and I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I was so glad that he asked me that question. You know, do you have so much on your plate? I remember during my first internship at CNN. So that was a very good boss because every time I had somebody, the presenter, Manuela, can you finish this script for me? I'm on air in in 20 minutes. Yes, yes. And then another person, you know Spanish, right? Can you translate this for me? And then another person, are you Italian as well? Oh, cool, because I have this thought, you know, from this football player. Can you? Yes, yes. And then I was like, oh. So again, ladies, learn to say no confidently.
I mean, it's really important. I learned this myself as well, working as a journalist and also when I moved here to London, because like things, they go super fast. It's a different kind of environment and you need to juggle yourself between different tasks. And sometimes it's really hard to say no because you think, oh my God, if I'm going to say no, what is going to happen? Maybe my boss will not like me. My colleagues will not like me. They're going to think I'm not able to perform or, you know, all this sort of negative thoughts. But sometimes it's really good to say just, you know what? No, sorry, I can't do this because this and this and this are the priorities or there is no time. And you need to be really practical because otherwise it's just really frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And also have another very good advice, actually.
Yes, go for it.
Just remembering now, very good. Because I wish I knew it before. So just in case really can bring value to the ladies out there. When I arrived at CNN, I got my foot in with an internship, a sports internship. So what the thing is, I really wanted to impress and do an amazing work that I didn't really mingle or network with the other shows, other programs in the newsroom. You know, I was all over. So I got into CNN and I was all over work and my team. And I didn't really spend time to meet other CNN people working for other shows. There was the Amanpour, Christian Amanpour show right next to me. I didn't really bother to really, hey guys, or, you know, because I was so worried about doing well and not missing out. And so, you know, too much performing mode. And I needed to shift into presence mode, which is what I learned with all my holistic studies. Presence versus performance. So I was in performance mode all the time. So by the time I finished my internship, they didn't offer me a job in that team, I panicked because I was so sure that I was gonna get a job there because I was so focused. And then I felt like, oh, I gave all this to this team. And then they said, oh, your internship is done. goodbye, thank you. And then I looked around and I was like, and it was hard to get another job at CNN after that because nobody knew me because I wasn't really, you know, mingling and just say hello to people and presence and who are you and how can I help and just being human. And of course, then I got a job in another department, but it wasn't easy. You know, I had to, you know, show up and then started to work as a freelancer. But also my languages helped me a lot because there was the Paris attacks. Mm-hmm. So they needed somebody who spoke French. So I was lucky. But the thing is, the main tip for the ladies is don't be in performance mode all the time. And just be human, look at people in the eyes, say hello, say thank you, and just relax and enjoy the journey, you know? Because that really was an important lesson for me.
It is an important lesson. I mean, we are human beings are sociable beings. So if we don't connect with others, we just like closing so many opportunities, you know, so many mm-hmm. possible connection and you never know really who you're going to talk next, what that person can bring into your life. So definitely power of networking and especially from a woman perspective, the power, you know, supporting each other, talking to other women, connecting with other people, it's so important. I'm really curious about this new adventure that you started as an holistic coach. So I would like you just to share with all the women that are listening to us today, what are the services you offer, and also how do you mix and match this your new holistic version with your being a journalist?
The great thing about coaching is that I can have the perfect tool to put all my expertise, life experience to serve others. So by having been a creative, right, a journalist for so long and then switched into holistic living, holistic lifestyle and more spirituality in my life. So what I do now is I help creative women, like super talented women with amazing ideas to focus, to silence all this noise in their minds and really turn these ideas into success. Because what happens, and I'm sure you understand, you start with so many ideas and then it's a shame you cannot achieve your goals because you get lost, you get overwhelmed, you burn out and ciao. So what I do with my clients is first, I help them gaining clarity and focus and prioritizing which ideas realistically they can do right now, not after 100 years, right now. And then obviously my coaching has a lot of mindfulness and spirituality and helping them understand their negative self-narrative that is kind of like hijacking their lives and overcome all these blockages that are keeping them away from their dreams. And one by one, we detect sabotage behaviors, we remove them so they can be super happy because they feel they are aligned with their ideas and their talents. It could be for their businesses, but for example, as well, it could be with their relationships, you know, family. So anything that is kind of like blocking them and blocking their creativity. So it's all about making your creativity shine, avoiding burnout, stay consistent and achieve your dreams.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I can relate to the fact that creative people, sometimes they are such a mess because I have a list of ideas I would like to work on. And I actually had this conversation yesterday with a friend. I was like, you are going to think I'm crazy because I'm coming up with a new idea. And she told me, just write it down. Maybe you're not going to do this tomorrow, but, you know, it's there. And, you know, there is something eventually in the future you can work on. But just now, just please stay focused on what you're doing right now, because it's already a lot. It's already a lot. So I think it's really great what you're doing. On this
one sec before you
tell me
before you move on to the next question, what I would like also to share with the ladies is the progress I made from a chaotic mind to an efficient mind. Because I also used to write these huge lists before I had my breakthrough experience or my spiritual enlightenment. And now I don't write these lists anymore. You know, want to know why?
Yes, please tell me.
They confuse you because the person you are right now writing is no longer the person who is after writing, because the second Ilaria might have better ideas than the first Ilaria. But the second Ilaria is going to stop her creative process to read the first Ilaria's list, and is going to first stop her creativity in that precise moment and confuse and get overwhelmed, and you do nothing. So the idea is, let these thoughts be, but don't try to capture absolutely everything, and just observe all these ideas, observe, and then when it's the right time, you will know which one to pick, and boom, like a horse, go straight for it. Because realistically, you cannot, as a creative, fulfill all your ideas. You need focus. So pick one or two, and as we say in Spanish, a tope, on fire. But realistically, you will burn out if you want to fulfill all your ideas as a creative, because as a creative, we have so many. So my advice would be, I mean, if you feel okay like building this list, but at least don't watch them while you are creating something else. Because maybe when you're creating something else, it really makes much more sense for you in that moment. You can be more efficient in that moment and maybe realize that this is what I got to do right now. And you feel and follow the flow, because it's all about flowing in the end. It's all about really feeling rather than thinking. And that's another learning, feel versus think. For me, feel is way more important than think. So if I feel, this is what I got to do right now. And then when I do list, I always do top three, top three, top three. I don't jump out of three, because I know I have a tendency to overwhelm myself with my ideas. Because honestly, ladies, we are power. We are creation. And that's so magical. But if we don't know how to channel it properly, we do nothing. And that's a shame, because we need to shine with our creativity. So I always do top three. And then once I'm done with these three, I think about the next three, you know. But let's be honest, we have a bank of ideas overflowing every day. So there's no need to write anything down. Just gonna confuse. That's my experience, honestly, that I would like to share. For me, it works.
So I hope that every busy creative woman that is listening to us today took note of this, because I want to see if we all are going to stop making lists from tomorrow, actually from today already, so we can actually focus on what is on our mind and what we would like to do.
And actually, one of my, sorry, I interrupt you again. One of my slogans or my taglines is this: your to-do list looks great. What about your to-be list? Because when you are yourself, when you flow, when you let yourself be, the thoughts, the intuition enters your being naturally and effortlessly. But if you want to keep yourself all the time busy, you don't let your intuition get into you, because you don't let that space. So when you be, when you're reading by the sea, when you're painting, when you're dancing, when you are just empty your mind, then is when maybe the best idea of your life is gonna pop up, because you leave that space. So also, that's really important to know how to be.
No, I have nothing else to add to this. But going back to the way that you help creative women to actually, you know, connect with their ideas and express them and work on them, you also talk about how to be in front of the camera. Am I correct?
This exactly
comes
yeah.
from your journalist experience. So can you, for example, if you want to share with all the women who are following us today, like, what are the biggest fears you had when you were for the first time in front of the camera, and how you managed to watch to eliminate those fears and just shine, and then how are you transmitting this to your clients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the expertise I'm bringing into my coaching, because obviously creative needs to engage with their audience and transmit their dreams, passions, and talents. So since I have this expertise as a TV journalist, is also, let's say, in my tools, not in my coaching tools. And I know nowadays, mainly with COVID and all these things, everything is on camera, not just making videos, but also video calls. So not everybody feels confident and comfortable in front of a camera. For me, I was born with a camera. I mean, I loved being on camera since I was a kid, and I have this passion for video, you know, since I can't remember. So for me, it has been always really easy, really, really, really easy. But what I would say is, actually what it would be more helpful for the ladies who are listening right now is you tell me your fear and I coach you around that if you dare.
Okay, so every lady that is listening to us right now, maybe you can drop a message to our emails, or you can text us on Instagram, and we're gonna let Manuela know your question, and then let's see how can she twist around these fears for you. I remember the first time I was in front of a camera, I was afraid I would forget completely what I was going to say.
If you can tell me, when you were thinking you were going to forget everything, right? What was that fear behind that thought?
Well, I remember I started sweating, and I was really, really scared. Like I didn't want to be in front of the camera at all. I was shaking. I was really nervous. That's what I remember from that first time.
Okay. So coaching question, Coco, I look like a chicken now. A coaching question. Like a coaching question would be saying, what was the resistance behind this behavior?
That's a good question. I didn't want to probably look stupid forgetting what I wanted to say. You know, it was like I was afraid of how I would have like appear to others if I would just stand in front of a camera and completely forgot what I have to say. You know, it makes you feel very, it's like you're standing in front of the camera naked and you're like, okay, oh my God, you know?
Exactly. So what I'm hearing is you felt naked and you were afraid of being judged by others.
Yeah.
And this fear that you just said right now is the fear that most of my clients also mentioned in the coaching sessions. And what I do when I hear this, okay, is always asking a question about self-love, which means, because most of the problems, confidence problems that people have is because of that, is because there is a lack of self-knowledge and self-appreciation. And all these fears, if you know that this fear is coming from a place where you are not loving yourself, where you're not valuing yourself, is much easier than when you feel that sensation of being nervous, you go, oh, okay, now it's coming from that place where I'm super self-conscious and I care a lot about how others judge me. But my question is that really true, or is an illusion created by your mind?
I think was an illusion probably at the time. I mean, it's I think it's also part of the culture, how we grow up, and the thing that like you always need to look and what you see in TV already, like you need to look amazing, perfect. It looks like no one makes mistakes ever. So the thought was like, oh my God, if I'm going to make a mistake now, what is going to happen? You know? So lack of confidence, but coming as well from what I could see, like growing up as a girl, as a woman, and as a journalist, we turn on TV, you look, they're standing there, they are perfect. You don't see what's behind. You don't see maybe how many times they took that scene, but because it was everything so new to me, I thought, oh, I need to get it right immediately. You know, I don't have to make mistakes. But then I soon realized that it was more important what I was going to say than how I will appear probably or how I will look like. And that was just in my mind. It was an obstacle that I was putting up for myself. I was like,
That's the key, Laria. Oh, I hear some echo. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. And that's the key, Laria, what you just have said, that the message is more important than you. Okay, so when you shift your attention from me to people, I'm serving people, and this message is really gonna help their lives. Like before, I said, coaching. I made a mistake, okay? But own your mistakes, presence. You can make mistakes with presence. When you are in performance mode, you make a mistake, you go like, woo! But when you are in presence mode, you own your presence, you make mistakes with presence, people smile because you're human. They want to see people who are human. So what you have said is what I really encourage my clients to work on, which is presence, being human, being humble, and self-confidence comes from that place when you care about others more than yourself. And then you can be in front of a camera, completely calm, because it's not about you. It's not about how your hair looks like. It's not about how your makeup looks like. It's not about if you look stupid. Nobody cares. What people care about is the message. So the message has to get across perfectly with presence and confidence. And that's what we journalists do. You know, we are all about the message, you know, and engage fast. And how you wanna engage fast? By bring your authenticity. I made a mistake. Because this word in English is crazy. Bring your, I'm just gonna say uniqueness, okay? It's easier to pronounce. Authenticity. Okay. I made it.
Yeah.
So bring it on camera so you can get to your audience, not just fast, but also in a genuine way by being yourself. That's really important as well. What I also help my clients with, just being themselves. Don't package yourself into somebody you are not. So all these tips, I would really hope that it would bring value to the ladies when they think about being on camera. Just forget about themselves and just really caring about their message, the intention behind the message, and the audience.
Well, thank you for the coaching session included in the podcast. I didn't expect that. You surprised me. I was like, wow. And on this note, if you are following this podcast, we have a little free gift for all of you. So Manuela shared with us her short TV hot script formula, with some advice on how to write the perfect script for your videos and discover how can you engage more with your audience. So if you would like to receive it, you can send an email to info@wempower.co just by texting Manuela script, or you can also send us a message on Instagram and we send you the script formula. Before we move to the final round of questions, I want to play a game with you, Manuela. Are you ready?
It was burn ready, lady.
So, I don't know if you ever played this before. It's called This or That, and it's really easy. I'm gonna name two things, and you need to quickly choose one. It's just a funny way for the audience and whoever is following us today to discover a little bit more about you, besides journalism, coaching, and everything else. So, you ready?
Vamos.
Let's go. Mountain or sea?
Sea.
Caipirinha or a beer?
Caipirinha.
Would you go for meat or vegetables?
Vegetables.
Are you a coffee or a tea person?
Coffee. I'm Italian.
Me too. Would you ride a motorbike or a car?
Motorbike.
Yeah. And I think the way you are right now, it must be amazing. Just, you know, go with the wind in Spain, in Tarifa, on the motorbike. So yes. Good. Are you a TV or a magazine person?
TV.
Podcast or book?
Book.
Would you prefer a piece of chocolate or a pack of crisps?
Chocolate.
Always. Are you a night owl or a early bird?
None. No, I'm kidding. somewhere in the same middle option. Okay. okay, let's do early bird.
Okay. Let's say that maybe the Spanish movida doesn't help with going to bed early, no?
No.
Would you prefer to send a voice message or to call someone?
Call.
And do you like to receive emails or letters?
Letters.
Amazing.
Which never happens, but never anyway, happens it would anymore. Be nice.
I can write you one if you like.
Sure, sure. I'll give you my address.
Send me your address. Well done. This was just a quick personality test. Last question for you. Mm-hmm. So, you lived in different countries and you experienced different culture. You speak several different languages too. And I'm pretty sure that as a woman, you notice maybe some similarities or difference between the way gender equality and women rights are perceived in this country. So I would like to know what's your experience or opinion about it.
Wow, what a last question, Ilaria. Mamma mia. Okay, one moment, let's breathe in.
And breathe out.
And breathe out. Bro, okay. Well, I also created a YouTube channel and my first videos were in Morocco. And the most successful videos actually were the ones I created in Morocco. And so obviously from Spain to England, then Italy, Morocco, the States, Greece. I went also to China. Where else? Bali. Germany. I mean, I traveled a bit all over. Obviously, I didn't, let's clarify first that living in a country is when you experience this the most in order to be able to give you a proper answer, because I have some experiences as a tourist, but I think the ones that really count to answer your questions are the ones that I experienced as an expat or person really living there, okay? So to be specific, let's talk Morocco, Spain, and England. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. So, I mean, being a journalist, a sports journalist in a male-dominated team at CNN was interesting, right? I mean, obviously the first thought that I came to my mind after I didn't get the job was precisely that, you know, it's like all males here and I worked my ass off and ciao, you know, after the 3 months internship and I looked around, all males, all men. So that was the first thought that came to my mind, but then I realized that it wasn't just meant to be, okay? And also we women, we need to really take a step back and not let our thoughts be dominated by anger or even ego, okay? Mm-hmm. And really understand when is a discrimination, a real discrimination going on, or when it's just like, okay, let's accept this situation, it's not meant to be. So in my case, this thought, just, you know, I ignored it after a while and just assumed humbly and, you know, gratefully I had this experience, so let's move on. So I wasn't discriminated during the whole internship. They gave me so much value to my work and I always felt really welcomed and never judged. So my experience, to be honest, even though I didn't get a job with them, it was super respectful at CNN, at least my experience. Then in Spain as well, I didn't have, I'm talking about the workplace now because I think it's the main scenario when we can experience these kind of things.
Yeah.
Because then in social life is much, I don't know, it's more like random. So yeah, I'm just going to talk about my experience as a journalist in Spain. Also super supported. It was pretty equal in terms of men and women in the newsroom. So also in Spain, I felt really that it was equal.
To finish this podcast and this interview, we started with the question of what are you not fighting, but what are you thriving for today? So the last question to finish is, what would you like to stop fighting for?
What would I like to stop? Emma, now you change fight to strive, and now I'm confused. Can you reword this question into a more digestible question, please?
All right. So if we if we take out the fight factor, let's say, so what would you like to stop worrying about or
balance? I guess, yeah. It's not really I worry about balance, but I'm always like observing myself if I'm in my center, like okay. If I'm balanced, okay. Whatever I coach somebody to give my best energy or I talk to my family, my friends. And so, yeah, I have this thing that I want to always stay balanced because I guess when you lose your balance, then you get sick and you lose your health, which is what happened to me when my mother died. So I'm always very conscious about being connected with my spirituality and also my mind and my body. And I'm always like monitoring myself if I'm in balance. You know, every day has a different balance. That's another thing. The same thing that balances you today might not balance you tomorrow. So it's every day has its own balance. So it's not like I worry about balance. It's more like a thermometer when you have fever, you know, to measure.
Yeah, to check
like,
it every
day. I'm always like very conscious about that to always be the best I can be.
Okay. Well, I mean, all of us, we have our worries and some things that we do instinctively, you know, and they just there, we do it every day. And sometimes we would like just to don't think about that. So to remove one more thought.
You know what? I just realized that's not the worry, actually. That's the solution of the worry. The worry is getting sick, getting ill.
Okay.
Like what happened to my mother, basically. Yeah, that's the main worry. Yeah.
Okay.
Like getting sick. So always like preventing. So that's what the balance comes into place. So yeah, it was a good question to raise awareness on this.
On this. I felt like I caught you on this one, you know. I took the information out. I'm learning.
This was a very good coaching question, actually. I'm going to borrow it, if you don't mind.
Do it, please. Do so. Well, thank you so much, Manuela, for today. This was like a precious and a very inspiring time. And I hope you had fun here with us today. And I hope that every person that was listening to us felt the same energy and a passion that I could feel. I'm really looking forward to welcome you again on this platform. And I wish you a blessed and a balanced day. Let's say like that.
Yes. And also I would like to say to all the ladies who have been listening until now, thank you so much. I'm glad you haven't fainted yet. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to come back and in another podcast and help you to answer your questions. And also, I hope really brought value to your lives, all what we have discussed today.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at WempowerUK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.